Are the Cleveland Cavaliers on the Pelicans' radar? Let's talk about it. First took away. Gas with this. Get your money's worth now. Yo, yo, yo. It's me. It's Chaz. It's Ross.
Oh, just in time.
Oh, it's five. Whoa, incredible timing. We in the building. But first, let's hear from Birdsall.
This podcast is presented by the Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Propels Talk. Birdsall Law Firm is a family practice that has been a staple in the greater New Orleans area since 1963. Specializing in automobile accidents and slip and falls for the past 60 years, you can trust the Birdsall Law Firm to handle your claim professionally while treating you like family in the process. The Birdsall Law Firm is located at 918 Poydras Street near the Superdome. Give them a call today at 504-523-5413. Or message them on Instagram if you or someone you know has been involved in an accident. Be sure to mention Boot Crew Media sent you to get your free consultation today. Once again, you can reach them at 504-523-5413.
Yo. Shout out to Birds. What up, y'all? It's the best New Orleans Pelicans podcast in the land. That's word to your moms and your auntie with the big arms. We love you, TD. Today is Propel's trade talk, cause we got a team. The Cavs got eliminated, so it's our turn to pick apart the carcass. I spent a lot of time in Ohio myself personally. You know what I'm saying? I was in Cleveland. I was in Cleveland after Brian got traded, though. It was
Mr. It was Worldwide.
Hey, Lito
was everywhere, bro.
Yeah, no, tell him about the time you went from Cleveland to New York.
Oh man, I drove from Cleveland to a party in Brooklyn. Yeah, it was a wild time. Incredible party. That's all I say about that. Cavs got eliminated, guys. And I think what's important is some wild headlines came out immediately. Like I'm talking about, it wasn't 20 minutes after the game was over. You got headlines talking about Donovan Mitchell is frustrated at guys' lack of maturity and professionalism in the locker room. You got another headline saying if Donovan is resigned and Garland wants out or vice versa. You got another headline talking about the front office was frustrated with Afro Man not being able to play in the last couple games in the playoffs. And then it's a whole other situation they got with Evan Mobley. Like, what are the Cavs going to do with Evan Mobley? Are they going to sign him? Are they going to trade him? So y'all hearing anything? Like, what direction, I guess, if you – well, first, let me say this, Ross. Are the Cavaliers an ideal trade partner for you, for the Pelicans?
100%. I think, you know, I've said this from the jump that I think my ideal return in a Brandon Ingram trade is like – a starting level center. We don't currently have a center on the roster. I think I've said that 10 episodes in a row. I think they have a couple of different options on that team. They also have like young guards. Darius Garland, I think, has played really, really well. You know what Jared Allen is. I think Evan Mobley is obviously like the highest ceiling, most valuable player that like we will probably talk about today. But to me, they're a much more practical trade partner than Atlanta. I think, you know, there's also a little more noise, right? They they held their own against Boston without Jared Allen, and then obviously they lose Darius Garland, and it kind of, you know, went downhill from there. I'm sorry, they lose Donovan Mitchell, and then it went downhill from there. But, you know, I think that has to make them look at that, right? Like maybe Evan Mobley's their center of the future. You move off Jared Allen, whatever. But in either case, I definitely think they are a much more practical and useful trade partner for us.
No doubt. Five, who's a better, in your opinion, who's a better fit for the Pelicans, Donovan or Darius? And why?
I think it's, to be honest, I think it's Darius. I think the ball handling, the ability to get through the teeth of the defense, I think his shot's improved as well. When he's healthy, that's the only thing that's kind of going against him. He's frequently injured, smaller guard, but I think like he's the better option for the Pelicans, right? Like pick and roll between he and Zion, I can see. He's good at catch and shoot, but Spider is good as well. He's a big shot maker, right? Can close a game out. Like we've seen it time and time again. He scored 70 points in an NBA game. We've had guys on this team that can't score 50. So, I mean, either option is a good option in my eyes.
No doubt. Yeah, beggars can't really be choosy, especially not when you're in the situation the Pels in. Chaz, dog, talk to me. Like, I wanted to ask you the Darius. I'm gonna come back around and ask everybody between Darius and Donovan. But I specifically want to know if you had to choose between Evan and Afro Man, who you picking?
I go with Allen, man, just because I like the potential of Mobley, but there's not a team that's really shown they can hone like big men, especially like guys who are raw offensively. Like Evan, I think his career high was fucking 33 points, and that was like the other day. And it was like, that comes on the heels of someone saying Tim McMahon saying how terrible he is offensively. And it's like a great offensive output every once in a while just ain't, man. And you're trying to get paid. So it's just too much. It's too much to deal with from a team that hasn't really shown the ability to develop raw prospects. And I do think Evan's offensive game, once he figures it out, he gonna be good. I just don't think this is the place he figures it out, and that's the issue. Things can change though; they can have a bunch of hires. But regardless of who you hire, you gotta pay this motherfucker. So he gonna be learning. You gonna be paying him to learn, like you know, you paying him to go to school. So I go with Allen, but Evan has the most highest ceiling.
Go ahead, Fire.
You know, isn't it weird about that draft class, the 2021 draft class? It just seems like these guys have like superstar potential, but something seems to be blocking it. Outside of Sengun, in my eyes, like there's not really a clear-cut guy. Yeah, they all have teams and they all have like moments, but we don't know what this draft is. It's almost like we got to give them another 3 years to really give it a grand total of like, all right, these are the guys from this draft. Because potential wise, like we thought this was a good, really good one, right? I mean, yeah. we had this redraft a couple of months ago, Lito.
Yeah, we did it.
Yeah, yep. Like, and we thought, like, okay, cool. But when you look at it, it's like, Evan, you should be so much better than what you are or what you're showing. And to Chaz's point, you know, bringing a guy here with like untapped potential, motherfucker, you might be at your third team still with untapped potential messing around with the Pelicans. If I'm him, if I'm his agent, I'm not sending his ass down here. They've already had conversations about it, right? Like, there's a report about, like, his agent saying when he was going to Cleveland, like, they wanted to tell the Cavs, like, we're not going to sit. We don't want Evan in Cleveland. Well, this would probably be the same kind of predicament, right? They probably don't want Evan here. Then he's going to play next to Zion, even bigger shadow.
And I also think he's the more expensive trade acquisition also because of that potential and that youth. And he doesn't have as many red flags. You know, there's a lot of questions surrounding Allen's toughness. Evan doesn't necessarily have those red flags. So I would just go with the stressed asset in this situation.
Yeah, for me, it's a thing. I might be a little different than y'all. Like, I think Mobley is, like, far and away the better asset and the better player. I think where I get a little nervous is the contract, right? Like, we're trying to figure out, well, you know, what are you going to pay Trey Murphy, this, that, and the other? Well, he's on that same timeline. So you're talking about another, like you're basically just buying, you would be buying into another restricted free agency and, you know, probably know what Evan Mobley's going to get, but, you know, do we want to sign up for that? I think he's an incredible defensive player and I think the ceiling is even higher defensively than what he's shown. And he would finish what, second in defensive player of the year last year, maybe third, whatever it was, top handful. Really versatile on that side. I think he made some, you know, 3-point percentage way up this year, shot 38% or whatever it was. So I like Evan Mobley as a player. But to Chaz's point, I think he's a lot more expensive to get than Jared Allen.
My bad, Leo. No. Just to piggyback off what Ross said, like, we don't need another guy. The Pelicans don't need another guy that they don't know what he's going to be. they need to stay a far away from guys that they don't know who they're going to be or see in the near future. Like, I think going with Jared Allen is the safer option, right? Like, it just makes more sense. Like, you know what he is. You know what he's probably going to get you. You may not show up in the, you know, late games of or later in the season where you might need him, but you know what he is. And maybe, just maybe, he'll grow up a little bit.
You know what's crazy? Coming out of college, I thought Evan Mobley was going to be like a generational type player. He had all the tools to do everything. He had his guard skill. You know, he shot the ball decently in college. I thought he would take a step in the NBA, like playing more on the perimeter. It just doesn't. He seems to have a hesitancy to shoot the three. I also doubted Jared Allen's ability. I had a tweet this year where I said, you know, when the offense bogs down, are you going to be able to throw the ball into Jared Allen to score a bucket? And the crazy part about that shit is Jared Allen said, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Because Jared Allen, when Spider and Mobley went down, bro, he was averaging like 16 a game. Like, he was shooting jumpers. He was shooting, like, his offensive game pretty much flourished. And what's crazy is it seems like the Cavs kind of have the same problem the Pelicans have. It's like one of them is better without the other one. They don't play well together. Evan has been able to flourish a little bit more without Jared. So my question to y'all is, do you think that Evan Mobley can be a full-time center in the NBA?
I do. I think you just saw it in like those last couple games. you know, I thought he played pretty well without Jared Allen in these playoffs. I mean, obviously, he's just – the problem with him is you just said it. It's a lack of confidence offensively. Like, you'll see at times a skill set where it's like, man, this guy can be a mismatch. And then there's other times where it's like he doesn't want to dribble the basketball. He doesn't want to shoot. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know whether that's because, you know, kind of some of the stuff we've said, maybe even about Trey Murphy here, where like he's just not part of the offense there. Donovan Mitchell and Garland spend a lot of time dribbling. And so, you know, we said the same thing about Jonas even a little bit. We're like, it's hard to get into a rhythm. It's hard to develop confidence when you're just not part of the offense. But it doesn't mean that there's not a skill set there that could flourish under the right circumstances. This leads us back to the conversation we had last. Like, is this the right, like, is the Pelicans' current staff, offensive mindset, like, what they want to do? Like, is that the right place for anyone really to flourish? I don't know. I have an opinion on it, but so that's what scares me a little bit about bringing Mobley here, just for all the reasons you guys just said, is that he's still a little bit rough around the edges. Like, is this the place that fine tunes those skills?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Ross is right. Like, no, I mean, this is the purpose. Like, yeah, we would all probably say Evan Mobley if there was like a history of development or certain development towards players here. Like, if they didn't step on Trey Murphy, if they didn't step on Jordan Hawkins, if they didn't step on Dyson Daniels, you know, trajectory, we'd be talking about getting more players that are untapped here. This isn't San Antonio. This isn't, let's say, Boston. This isn't Memphis that do OKC. You know, these guys do a really good job of developing and using that development to their advantage. You talked about, Ross, you talked about like Evan Mobley being on the Cavs with Garland and Spider, right? They dribbled for 17 seconds of the shot clock, and then he'd have to play through that. Like, would that change if he came here? You know, we got a guy that, you know, people talk about like CJ McCollum doing that. And if you get Jared Allen, hopefully, or say if you get that guy Mobley and you got, you know, Darius Garland in the trade, pretty much the same kind of predicament you're in. Like, who's going to tell those guys, like, hey, we need to move the ball more, get others involved? Look at Luka, look at Kyrie. These guys have a history of, you know, dominating the ball. But look at them in this playoffs. Like, Kyrie had, like, 12 points last night, a lot of his, you know, the scoring output was him feeding guys, getting guys like PJ Washington involved, Hardy involved. Like, they had really good games because, you know, the stars gave the ball up.
Do y'all, okay, so we talked about Evan Mobley, and I'm in agreement, which I don't know if he can be a full-time center, but I do think that's probably going to be the best spot for him to take advantage of any mismatches. Let's move on to Darius Garland, right? Do y'all, he's had injury issues. He didn't have the greatest showing in their last game in the finals. Does his inconsistency or lack of showing up in a big game mean anything to y'all?
Not at all. Not to me at all. I think, I think this would be his fifth year. One-time All-Star, had consecutive 20-plus point seasons, always in that 7-8 range of assists. Not a great rebounder, of course. But for me, I don't really the playoffs might as well not exist to me, because my goal would be for the Pelicans to comfortably make the postseason. Mm. Like, I can't really worry too much about, oh, when we get to the playoffs, they're going to shut that shit down. It's like, yo, you get into the playoffs by the skin of your teeth every season. Like, at a certain point, you need to start making it comfortably to the playoffs. You know, a couple of his injuries, they've been freak injuries. He's a guy, he takes a lot of, like, elbows and shit like that. Like, he's had a couple of, like, crazy freak injuries. But really, you kind of seen his, like, him have some diminishing returns with the addition of Donovan Mitchell. I think if you keep Donovan Mitchell out of the equation, I watched a lot of Darius Garland's ISO plays, some of his facilitation. Yo, that dude, Darius Garland, nice. like mm-hmm. Darius Garland is nice. And the thing is, it's like, even with his injury issues, he's still playing more games than our guys, mm-hmm. like, over the past 3 or 4 years. And that's the crazy part. Also, you know, if he had a great showing in the postseason, if he didn't have a, you know, a down year since Donovan Mitchell's been there, we would be kind of be talking about him like we talking about trading for Ant or somebody like that. Whereas the only reason this is a conversation is because he's a you know, damaged asset to a degree, because he's had injury concerns. The fit has been an issue, and you got his agency who wants him on another team in the event that Spider is re-signed. So it's all like, okay, the only reason this, it's like Boogie Cousins. Boogie Cousins wasn't, you know, a problem in Sacramento. We could have never got a dude like Boogie Cousins, mm-hmm. Buddy Hill, like, you know what I'm saying, and pieces and filler. With this, I don't think you're going to get no all-star point guard in 2024 for Brandon Ingram if, you know, unless there's questions surrounding that point guard. So I have no concerns about Darius Garland moving forward.
So, look, Five, with that being said, shout out to Chaz. With that being said, in this season, he played 57 games, 12 less than a year before. He took 356 threes, which is 56 less than the year before, just based on, obviously, the games missed. But he shot it at 37%. The year before, he shot it at 41%. My question to you is, walk me through the relationship that he and Zion would have if he were a New Orleans Pelican.
I mean, you know, the person that he reminds me of is Tyrese Maxey. Like, okay. That, like, he's that quick. Right, like, he has that bounce in his step. Right, he could score at will if he wants to, but I think Tyrese is like, probably has another gear. Right, like the shot making, the creativity. He's a bigger, stronger guy. But like, him and Zion in the pick and roll would be crazy. Right, like, one, you got a guy that's preferably trying to get downhill. The shot for Garland is almost like secondary. Like, he's trying to get to the teeth of the defense. Like, he has to. That's mm-hmm. how he creates his separation. That's how he, you know, you're worried about his speed. Like, he's Kyra if they develop him, because he's that quick. He's that good. And the openness, like he could shoot the ball really well. Playing with Zion gives you an opportunity to shoot more. It's not like Spider, because he's out there on the three-point line. Zion is trying to get to the rim. He's not trying to, you know, play three-point line in, right? So that just creates more space. Then you're playing with other shooters, other guys trying to get downhill. Like, it's a benefit to both of those players to play with each other. But we could talk about a ton of guards just playing. You're right. You could talk about a ton of guards, right, to play alongside Zion. That'll be beneficial. Like,
right,
everybody's shooting percentage should go up just being in a lineup with Zion Williams.
Russ, so Darius Garland this year in the playoffs, he averaged 5.8 assists a game. Now, obviously, it was a lot of games where he didn't have Spider. It was a games where he didn't have Jared Allen. Throughout the season, however, I think he averaged 6.5. Let's just say the Pelicans were to make a trade here. Would his assist numbers be? Do you think he could raise his assist numbers, or do you? Because I think BI was 6. I think he might have been 6 also, or 6.5 this year. Do you think that he could surpass that, or like, what would you be looking for to Darius Garland to improve upon his game if he played New Orleans?
You know, I don't know that I would really be looking for him to do anything additional than like what his skill set already is. If I'm being totally honest, like, I think he's a very good shooter, and I think with better looks, he could be an even better shooter. I think he's a very good ball handler. Five just alluded to how creative and crafty he is in the pick and roll. I think in some ways when I watch him, he kind of reminds me a little bit of, he's not, maybe not quite as quick as Trae Young, but I think he does a lot of similar things for me. It's not like he doesn't have just as loose of a trigger in terms of some of the shots Trae will take. But I think there's some similarities in their game too. But I think what we would be looking like, he would become for me that like true point guard, like a true table setter, a true like guy that he provides something that we don't currently have. Look, CJ is crafty as hell. I think a lot of times when he gets in the paint, or when he can get past his initial defender, it's really him looking for him to score. And I don't think Garland necessarily has that. I mean, he's had years where he's averaged 7, 8. I don't know. Did he have a year where he almost 9 assists?
Yeah, he was right at 8.6.
He's a really crafty passer. I think I would be looking for him to come in and just play basically that type of basketball, like give us a true point guard that also, like, when he doesn't have the ball, you got to pay attention to. Like, he's a very good 3-point shooter. So, he's not the best defender on earth. So, I mean, I guess, you know, if I was going to say anything, it would just be that, he, you know, to continue to improve defensively. But I think his offensive skill set would fit like a glove.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess, is there any, obviously, we're on the Cavs tonight, but would Garland be, I guess, in y'all top maybe 2 or 3 guards that you would want for this team?
He's in my top 2. I would place him above Murray, honestly.
Oh, I would.
And I like Murray a lot, but I would place him above Murray.
I definitely would. And I think, and to be totally fair, I don't know how gettable Garland is, if we're being like honest, but I think he's more gettable than Trae Young. Like, I think that's a more reasonable, and I think the price would even be less as well. So for me, it's like, if you're talking about reasonable, like things that are somewhat within the realm of possibility, 100% Garland's in my top 2 or 3 guards. Easy.
What'd you say, Fi?
Hell yeah. I mean, you got a guy that doesn't turn the ball over. You can finally just give the ball to somebody late in the game and say, all right, just don't turn. Like, the Pelicans had problems dribbling the ball up the court. let's not confuse this with his advancedness of offense. Like, no, just simply dribbling the ball up the court, and if you press him, it's 5-on-4, it's 4-on-3, like with the snap of a finger. Like, we've seen this in the Smoothie King Center. Like, I've seen it beat the Pelicans by himself. So this is a guy that you would want, same draft class as Zion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so
yep.
It's an easy transition. You give a guy, you really just set your team up right? Like, you set your team up with a guy that doesn't turn the ball over, shoots the ball really well, can get in the teeth of the defense, and can pass. I'll worry about the defense later.
No doubt.
I think Darius Garland has a game, has, let's see, 1, 2, 3.
Sound like my damn house about to fall in.
Yeah, you heard that, bro. What the fuck is that?
Y'all want to neighbor watch, huh? Or something.
Might be a short-lived show tonight. Find out again.
Jesus Christ. I think Darius Garland has like 7 games with 30 points this year. I do think, man, look, we all seen Zion with a guard. Shout out to Lonzo. It's a difference. I would be remiss if I said, you know, I don't know if he's definitely top 2 or 3 for me. I just want to see the Pelicans get competent guard play. But let's talk about Jared Allen. So, Chaz, Jared Allen had a 110 defensive rating this year. He ended the season playing 77 games. He averaged 16.5 points, 10.5 boards. Talk to me. I know we talked about him versus Mobley, but specifically talk to me about his fit on the Pelicans.
I think it's an interesting fit. It's not perfect, of course, just because that ideal stretch big, that player doesn't exist. Like that player is Karl Anthony Towns. And it's like, you're not getting him. So to me, Allen, he solves one problem without really creating another one. You've already seen Zion play next to 3-4 lumbering bigs. At least Allen's a bit more mobile, a lot more agile, former all-star. We already know what he does on the defensive side. Can shoot the midi a little bit. It's not his main thing. We shoot the midi, give you some vertical spacing, always a lob threat. Typically plays, and also, to me, I view an acquisition. This is hypothetical. Let's say you were to get a Garland and an Allen. Totally hypothetical, right? I would view a player like Allen as a guy that I intend on moving in the future. Now, if you were, let's say you went and signed Hardenstein or somebody from West Bubba Fuck, right? Let's say you went and signed one of these scrubs. Then in the event, like even if you got Garland, you're still not done because you still don't have a true number two on a championship team. You still don't have that player. There's still things you need to do. And if I'm the Pelicans, I need as many assets as possible for when I'm ready to make that next move. Those assets are a bit, you know, attractive. They're, you know, mid-level salary. They're not on bad contracts. Allen only has about maybe two years left on his contract. So you don't have to extend them right away. He can turn around and be expiring salary relatively soon. And on his next extension, it's not going to be anything crazy if you did decide to keep him. And the reason I say that, because let's say you're negotiating with, trying to think who's like a great number two option in the league. Let's just say Bam, right? Even though Bam's not a great number two option, but let's just say Bam, right? So if the Miami come to, let's say Bam, like, I want out of Miami. And you like, I got to make a pitch to Miami to get Bam. It looks a lot better if you got a guy like Jared Allen, you know, on a great contract. What is he, one or two time all-star, you know what I'm saying? Reliable, consistent. It looks a lot better as a trade chip versus some of the, you know, Cody Zeller. Like, hey, we got Cody Zeller and picks. What y'all trying to do? And I'm like, nah, fuck out of here. So I think you gotta bring a guy like that onto the roster in anticipation of the next move and in anticipation of the deadline.
Yo, so before we move on, I got a question for Five. Before we move on, man, make sure y'all hit the like. I'm not saying the smash. Please hit the like button. So whatever Justin says right there, do that thing he says. Yo. Five. Okay, we've seen this team's. We've seen how this team has played or treated big men, on a roster. Do you think that they would trust Jared Allen to play in fourth quarter minutes? Do you think they still would, let's say, start a la Larry Nance in the third quarter versus going with Jared Allen? You're on mute.
My bad. Nah, at that point, like, you have the defensive versatility. So it's not like you losing anything or gaining anything, but with having Larry out there, like, Jared Allen is a bona fide guy. He's made his bones in the NBA. Really good defender, right? If that's like, right, that's what Willie said, like, just the ability to switch on. I think he can guard two through five. I wouldn't say a one. So that's still a good range for him. If you make the trade with Garland and Allen, you know what? That team would probably remind me of the grit and grind Memphis Grizzlies, but a little bit more shooting if you compare it, right? Like, if the offense could pass and really well and get layups, like, you can see that team making runs, but you don't have a bona fide second guy or a bona fide. Well, I think Zion should be the one, but you need another guy, right? Like, you need somebody else that with the ability to make shots in critical moments. But it would be a fun run, but are you trying to just have a fun run, or are you trying to win a championship? So I think, to Chaz's point, like, you have to set yourself up for the next move, like golf. Like, you got to see shots 2-3 steps ahead, not thinking about just, you know, getting to the end of the course.
So you got to stay on par, is what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, above par would be great. You know,
no doubt.
Yeah. Below par, you're gonna be under.
I'm off. Yeah,
you. But go. I'm with you.
You know.
Ross done played a little golf in his life, man.
Probably play a lot of golf.
I need to play golf though. I got clubs I ain't never used before.
You married with a kid, you might as well give that shit up. two kids, you can really give it up. Three.
Russ, talk to me about your pros of Jared Allen as a Pelican and your cons.
I think the pros are that he solves an immediate need. I think Chaz just said that. Like, he solves an immediate need without creating an additional problem. Like, I don't know how Chaz worded that a second ago, but it was right on point for me. Like, we don't have a center. And I'm of the opinion, and maybe I'll be proven wrong at some point. Maybe I won't. Maybe we'll just never get this type of center. But I tend to think that a type of player like Jared Allen would be really good with Zion, like a legitimate lob threat. So that when the center, like, we've seen every time Zion drives left, like, they are sending whoever's guarding him and the center. And I think a legitimate rim runner, somebody that's a good screener playing with Zion Williamson is that player is going to get so many easy buckets just from that alone. So I think the positive is that he's a good defender, and I think he can fit next to like the current personnel, and he's cheap.
I just say he could be Kevon Looney. That's better, right?
Yeah. I think the bad is that, like, I think this is sort of his ceiling, right? What you just saw in the second half of this year, because the dude after the All-Star break last year that averaged like 12-9, like, I don't really have a lot of use for him. The dude that just averaged after the All-Star break this year 18-10 or 18-11 and like showed a little bit more offensive skill set, showed a little more assertiveness, showed a little more aggression, I thought, like, wasn't quite as much of a finesse player. I have use for that player. Like, that's a player that can make a difference with what we have. And so it's just, there's a little bit of inconsistency with him. And I think, like, this is probably the ceiling, but I'm okay with that. Like a known asset is fine in this scenario. And again, because of his contract and because of like the high floor, to Chaz's point, if you were to try and move off of him next year as an expiring or potential expiring after next year, like, there's value to him. Like, he's not just a nothing player. Like, he's not Cody Zeller, to Chaz's point. Like, he's an actual player that you can include in a trade that makes a difference.
Yo, Chaz, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What would the Donovan Mitchell essentially would be a one-year rental, right?
Yeah.
Do you think there's any chance the Pelicans take a swing at a one-year rental?
I don't think the Pelicans really even have the assets to do it, truthfully. Like, that's when you start talking about, I need Herb, and maybe I need Trey too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, to me, that level of player, like top, gotta be top 12, 15, like somewhere in that range. And the best player you sending out is probably how many players in the league? Shit. Probably top 70, top 60. Like his last outing, kind of at his best, of course, top 40-ish, but at his last outing, maybe top 70-ish, and he's about to get paid.
And you gotta factor in what they gave up to get Donovan Mitchell too. Like that's not they're not just forgetting what they gave up in that trade.
And I would need to know that's the situation to me. Like, motherfucker, you gotta sign before I trade for you. Yeah. Like you gotta be and like I need you here because he's not the type of player that's gonna quit. Like he's a professional. He gonna fucking play ball. Like Dame is that kind of guy. Like, you know, I don't care where I'm going. I'm going to play. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to play. But I don't think it's possible. I think the time to do that was before he went to Cleveland and before the market for him got set. You know what I'm saying? Now, if he would have went to Cleveland and fell off, it'd be one thing. But this motherfucker dragging them to the second round and, you know, I just think it'll cost too much to get him. And, I don't think it's possible.
Yo, Five. So, same question that I asked Shaz. I'm looking at you got a Kawhi going to Toronto type situation where they took a swing, they won a ring. Do you think the Pelicans have any chance of even? Do you think they would even think of making that move?
Lito, this team ain't made it out the first round. This is not the same game. This is not it. Like you can't take a rental. Like you're not there. You can't afford the rental. Like you go to this is one of them. The Pels taking a trip to Miami. They fucking want a rental. No. You need a Nissan Maxima. You need a Nissan. I drive a Maxima, so that's why I'm even saying it. You need a Nissan Sentra. You know, for the trip, low on gas. You know, affordable options. Leave the Lambos to the big market. Leave the Lambos to the Lakers. Leave the Lambos to New York, you know, because that's probably where he's going to end up. You ain't got that type of cachet. You can't be going against the grain. You're going to go home broke. You know what I'm saying? You know how cats go out in the cities. Mm-hmm. They come home. They come home broke.
Yeah.
You leave that alone.
All right, man. I feel like when you host Justin hosting gets you optimistic. You know what I'm saying? Like it.
Man.
I agree. I truly don't know that we could even put together a trade. Like you've got to look at it as like if Donovan Mitchell was on the open market, like if we do a deal with Cleveland, it ain't gonna involve Donovan. I just feel very confident.
You know,
like that's not where this is headed.
You know what else too? And this is again where Griff dropped the fucking ball at. Donovan Mitchell still got an extra year on his contract. So that makes it even more attractive of an asset. Like, well, fuck, you got time to win him over. Like, you know, I can sell that if I'm the Cleveland GM. But with, you know, that's why you're supposed to trade a player like Brandon. Not Brandon, but a player like Brandon. Last season, like when he still had an additional year on his contract.
Yeah.
So now it's like, well, fuck, we trade for this guy. It just ain't, you know, I don't know, man. It's a shady situation to be in because you can't even dream big no more. You know who they got a chance at realistically? Kawhi Leonard.
Mm.
You got a chance. I wouldn't want Kawhi, but you got a chance at a guy like that because if they lose Paul George, they don't have the free agency is so bad, and it's going to be bad for a little while moving forward. So their only real chance at getting a guy is trading for him. So if you could do something, you know, crazy and like the fucking Nets did and just send them all your picks and all your talent and get, you know, Kevin Garnett in year 99, and let's see what happened with Kawhi. But man, it's just Pelicans got so their options limited. I really think the Cavs are like
the only opportunity you got to get an all-star in a trade, like a recent all-star, in my opinion.
And look, to your point, I think the interesting thing is, like, when I look around the league at, like, who might be interested in a player like Brandon or for a year, I actually think Cleveland makes sense for him to a certain degree. Like, there's a lot of places we talk about, like, whoa, you know, we could do a deal with that team because that team has something that we want. I actually think, given where Cleveland is today, they could maybe benefit from a player like Brandon next year. And especially if the goal is to try and maybe hold that nucleus together in some way. Like, I mean, some of the guys they're playing on the wing aren't really much to write home about. I mean, Okoro, Max Strus, like, I mean, it's not a real strong core of players that they were running out there, a small forward. And I think they might fancy themselves as like a fringe contender of some sort. Like, let's just say they ran it back next year with basically this same team. Say you did some deal where, you know, Jared Allen and spare parts for Brandon, right? I could see them trying to, like, use that as a, like, all right, well, hey, you know, we'll see what we got. You got Garland, you got Mitchell. Like, you make everybody basically just hold serve for another year and you swap Brandon with Jared Allen. You know, maybe you get a little more versatile by letting Mobley play center. Like, I could see them talking themselves into that as like a bridge, you know, a bridge year to see what happens. So I don't know. I mean, I think there are reasons. I really do think Cleveland is like a reasonable conversation.
Can I tell y'all why I think Spider resigns? Okay. I think Spider resigns in Cleveland because it like, to Ross's point, it isn't a bad situation. They got avenues to get better. They succeeding even with all this bullshit going around. And he can always, like, New York, Brooklyn, and the Knicks, they don't have a real avenue to get him. The Nets don't even have their own picks. They don't really have the player talent to get him. And the Knicks, I'm pretty sure Cleveland don't want Julius Randle. So it's like he would almost have to go somewhere else that he probably wouldn't want to go. So I think he extends, gets his money, kicks the can a little bit, and then once whatever, if the Knicks move on from Julius Randle, whatever happens with that, then I think he makes his move. Or if the Nets figure it out, then I think he makes his move. But for right now, it really don't make a ton of sense for him to go to the Northeast.
It's Damian Lillard 2.0. Like, no, let me get my money right first.
Yeah, let me get my money first.
And then I'm going to tell you, like, hey, nah, you know, I'm not really feeling this anymore. Let's go figure something out. Like, because Cleveland has to give him the money, all of it.
Oh, hell yeah. So that's
what, like, for him, like, I totally agree. I don't think Mitchell's going anywhere.
Good question.
Hell yeah. Oh, my bad. I wouldn't fucking leave for what? I'm getting the money. That's why I always thought AD was stupid. Like, bro, yeah, give me the money first. Take it a year. And then I'll do it. Like, that's so stupid. Why would you not take the money with you? And to Chaz's point, like, you're not getting to New York anyway. Like, there's no avenues to get there. And I think the Knicks this year, to be honest, I think that's just a fluke.
Mm.
You can't play motherfuckers 49 minutes and think they're gonna hold up for two. Like, it's not happening.
That's what happened with the Bulls.
Tibbs got a resume that's true as can be. Like, yeah, it's working right now, but it ain't gonna work much longer.
At least he got a system. At least he got some shit.
I got no problem with Tibbs. Like, you can guarantee you're gonna have two or three good years with Tibbs, and then it's gonna get ugly quick. But at least you got two or three good years.
Go ahead.
I want to ask y'all ideal trade with the Cavs, but first I kind of want to talk a little, like, Pelicans real fast. Like, do you think the Pels are just gonna let Jonas and Najee walk, or do they try to do a sign and trade? I mean, the Pelicans have done stranger things. Like, I don't know why Jonas wasn't moved last year, but is there any world where they bring Jonas back?
I don't think Jonas takes the pay cut. even in like maybe you do some creative, like you do a partially guaranteed contract. Like, let's say you do it for like 15. Well, let's say you do it for 16 million with only like 12 million. I don't even know if you could do some shit like this. 12 million counts against the cap, and you get the rest of your money for games played. Like, let's say you maneuver it in a funky way, right? The fucked up part about that is the Pelicans only about like 20 million or something like that from the luxury tax. So if you do that, you kind of take yourself out of the equation for when those better teams start to dump talent, and you can acquire players into like your MLE, your biannual exception. You kind of take yourself out of the equation, and with signing trades, you will hard cap your team, whereas like certain like exceptions, you'll lose access to certain things you wouldn't be able to do. As far as I know from Najee and talking to a couple people, man, Najee never been, they've been waiting to dip and spread their wings for a couple years now. Nah.
Highest and, bidder.
Yeah, and JV, you know, I think JV felt the disrespect, man. A dude like JV will go to Boston when Al Horford retire and just be a fucking monster. Like, give you a quick 10 and 10 off the bench and just get him a ring and just chill. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know, man.
I could see, just answering your question again, I think there's no, like 0.0% chance Najee is back. I'm firm to the belief that like he played well enough to get paid, and I think he's going to like the absolute highest bidder, no matter where it is. I do still think there's like a reasonable chance that JV ends up back, like on a one-year deal of some sort, because I don't really know what his free agency, like I don't know what his market is, and we don't have a center. Like, it's sometimes like the devil you know is better than the devil you don't, right? Like, I hope he, again, I've said this a bunch of times, I hope for his sake he does not come back here, because he was disrespected, underutilized, and then once things got ugly, it was, oh shit, can Jonas like play well enough to save us? I think he needs to go somewhere else, but for his own good. But I also could see a scenario where, like, there really ain't no money out there for you, and we sort of need you. And if we can't get a deal done, like, they're not going to enter next season with Larry Nance as the center on the roster. And then whoever, like, a Cody Zeller or a Plumlee or one of the random big white guys that, like, sit, you know, plays 8 minutes a night off the bench. Like, they're going to do something. And if they can't do something, it won't surprise me one bit if Jonas gets 1 year and $18 million or something. Won't surprise me one bit.
Russ, you sure about that though? Like, you sure Larry Nance is not, he like, are we certain about that?
I think if Larry was capable of playing, like if they thought he was actually capable of playing 70 games, I think I would maybe not feel that way. But I think they absolutely know that Larry Nance cannot be relied on for more than maybe 50 games. And that's the reason, like, you have to get somebody else. You have to.
I think a lot of it's going to depend upon what happens with Brandon, right? I think if Brandon's here, there's no need for like JV, right? I think they go a cheap center route. If Brandon's gone, I think they say, well, you know, we seen JV and Zion play kind of decent together. You know, let's bring old JV back for a 2 year deal with a fake second year. With a like inflated second year, we could just trade this motherfucker, like, you know, like Josh Hart. Yeah, you know, one of them, you know, one of them deals. And to me, it wouldn't be a bad idea, because it gives you more tradable salary moving forward. Because the Pelicans, even this offseason, they're gonna struggle. Like, they're gonna struggle to, for one, they're gonna struggle to fill out the rest of the roster. Like, you already gave – go ahead, Ross.
No, I just want to ask you a question, because I'm talking about filling out the rest of, like, who is the – what is the cheap center route? Because I've looked at free agent centers this offseason. Yeah. Like, who is the best-case scenario? I mean, I know my answer, but I want to hear, like, yours.
That's the thing. Like, even with a dude like Andre Drummond, what he was able to do in Chicago, it's like you probably can't afford Andre no more. Like, the minimum Andre days, that shit is dead. He only way he do that is if he's trying to get a ring. I think you might end up trying to get Mason Plumlee. You know, like you say, I think you're trying to get Mason Plumlee, maybe. I think see if Nerlens Noel still playing. I think you know what it's gonna be like to me if they don't make a move. It's gonna end up being like, you know, when we signed Josh Childress and the dude who used to play for the Lakers, he just passed, and we had like Josh Schmidt and all like these weird ass random players with names, like these name brand players that you like, where you come from? I think it's gonna end up like that. Like, what's my man, Jahlil Okafor? It's gonna end up like that, bro.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think they're gonna be comfortable enough going like that deep into the bargain bin. Like, I think they would just rather. I think it's an easier story to sell, just being like, we brought JV back for another year. Like, he knows what we're trying to do here. Versus play them, like, games. Yeah, versus them, like, versus going deep into the bargain bin with fucking Drew Eubanks, or we can't afford him, or like one of these Plumlee brothers, or whoever else is available. Like, that just doesn't strike me as like, I don't know that they're that risk averse. Like, because that would be basically going all in on something that they're not willing to go all in on, which is like, man, fuck it, we just gonna play small like the whole year and figure it out.
Yo, you got, I was looking at free agent centers. You got Rashawn Holmes, Wiseman, Jonas, Mo Wagner, Hardenstein. You mentioned Plumlee, Drummond, JaVale, Cody, and Bismack.
Like, I think they would draft a rookie and start a rookie before some of those dudes that you're talking about.
You know who I like the idea of, but fuck, everybody likes the idea of this player. It just never works out. Marvin Bagley, right? And when he first got to Washington, defensively, he was pretty sound. I was like, yo, motherfucker, he look all right. Like, blocking shots. Then, of course, he gets hurt, and he never really returns to form. I'm just talking about, like, people who, like, when you're doing center by committee, because to me, Larry Nance shouldn't even be your backup center no more. Larry Nance needs to be a part of whatever fucking trade you make. Whoever you, like, Larry Nance needs to be a part of this. So, like, you, I think you go get, if you bring JV back, even if you don't land, if Cleveland say fuck that Garland, when you ain't getting Jared Allen, he going over here for this. I say cool. I go sign about three no name motherfuckers, and I'm just putting y'all in a rotation. Up tonight, this looked like a Mason Plumlee type of game.
Right.
Like, and then not gonna do I'm that. Letting Herb, you know, I'm letting one of them dudes get some minutes at the fire. I'm waiting to at least the deadline. Like, what was that team? Oh, and you got Dwight Powell, Super Larry, on free. I think he's a free agent. This is he a free agent, Dwight Powell?
I don't. Let me see. Hold up.
He might be, but like the folks I know in Dallas, folks I know in Dallas have hated that motherfucker so much. Like, I can't. So like, I hate him. I hate him by association. Like, I can't. I don't even know Dwight Powell. In any way, like, I hadn't seen him play much in the last couple of years, but like, I don't want that motherfucker just because I know how much people in Dallas can't stand him.
And you're not gonna have a backup power forward.
I ain't gonna like him either.
Yeah, Jeremiah Robinson Earl a free agent too.
Now he signed a real contract.
What are we?
Oh, he did. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He got like a 2-year contract.
That's the thing too. What we gonna do if JRE walks?
Not JRE.
That's the thing too, bro. It's like, the Pelicans just, oh my God, they just fucked up every step of the way, bro. Like, in hindsight, the EJ Liddell thing, it ain't make no sense. Like, in hindsight. And see, drafting him, that wasn't just the bad part. It was like, all right, fuck, you couldn't have predicted he was going to get hurt. In your mind, he's probably your Naji replacement or some shit like that. But then you sign him to a real contract. Now it's like, that's $2 million. You could have went and got a minimum guy for they better look at through the fucking G League and try to find that diamond in the rough. They better scour with that fucking G League for real.
So it can be done. What about Naji? Any chance they bring Naji back?
I don't think he want to come back, honestly. I don't think they can afford him at this point.
Yeah, I think he's getting the bag. I can see Detroit, baby. Detroit. Yeah, that was the one for me. Detroit's probably calling soon. Like, matter of fact, I saw that when I saw Naji leave the Smoothie King Center, it was like almost like he was like the one of the first, like he had did like a little exit interview. He was like, he got all these people like, hey, yo, let's go. Like, hey, we leaving this motherfucker ASAP. It's probably not how he felt, but maybe, maybe he felt that way.
Yeah. The last season, they was like, man, I heard Toronto kind of nice. I thought I was about to be OVO Najee.
I was hearing that the deadline, he was a little, you know what I'm saying, a little frustrated. Mm-hmm. He didn't get traded. I guess, man, we're 55 minutes into the pod. Yo, please hit the like button. As Justin would say, do that thing to the like button. He put some sort of explicit words on it because that's just Justin. I can play the company burger thing for y'all if y'all would like that. Because hey,
do that thing to the like button is wild.
You're right. You're right.
Y'all want to check out the Super Chats?
Yeah, hold on though.
Before we get into that, do we want to spend just a minute or two talking about like what if? All right, let's go full circle on Cleveland. Like, what if we were going to do a deal with Cleveland?
Yeah, that was my next question. Yeah, so I was going to ask y'all like, if there was a trade to be done, can y'all give me your ideal situation with Cleveland?
Brandon, Larry, Dyson, two firsts, one being 21 and future first, whatever, probably. Lottery protected or some shit, top five protected. But there's Jared Allen Garland. I don't need nothing else. I don't need nobody else. Take these three brothers here. And I say that because I feel like you got to choose between Dyson and Jordan Hawkins, especially if you plan on drafting people in the future. You don't have the resources to develop both of those guys. And I think it's easier to teach Jordan Hawkins to be competent defensively than it is to teach Dyson to even be bad offensively. Cause that motherfucker's not even bad. He's god awful. So he's just, it's too far of a thing. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Now, do you think that's enough? Do you think that's enough to get both of those guys? You think Cleveland will be like,
yeah, I think to me, that's my initial offer. If they counter asking for more first, I give them three first. I give them three first because we can't draft anyway. You're trying to win, so you're not really trying to develop. And you got a couple high ceiling guys that you need to develop and give them as much runway to be good, you know, right now. And if it don't work, once you trade Zion and trade whoever you trade, you're going to get first back anyway. So who, you know, you need this shit to work right now because you're about a year away from Zion being like, nah, enough is enough. Let's just have a divorce. You know, I did some things, you did some things. It just ain't gonna work out. Let's move on. So you need to start winning now. And you already a year behind.
Hey, everybody, we hope Cole get his girl back. You know what I'm saying? Like, we hope Cole get your girl back, dog. Like, go. We send in a special prayer to you and Mrs. Cole. We hope you get it back. Ross, same question.
I think I go simpler. I think Garland's still going to be really hard to get, and I think it makes more sense for them to try and improve what they have. For that reason, I think it's Brandon and a first for Jared Allen and Caris LeVert. Jared Allen, a starting level center for a lot of teams in this league. Caris LeVert actually is useful for us off the bench in terms of being like kind of a microwave scorer. I see that deal as a win-win for both teams. I really do.
What do you make of the Mitchell extension though, and Garland saying he want out if they extend? What do you make of that?
Might be some truth to it. And if I'm Cleveland, I don't give a fuck. Like, because for me, it's about they're similar to us. I have Darius Garland, who's a good player, former All-Star, still relatively young, like good player. I have Donovan Mitchell, top 20 player in the NBA. I have Evan Mobley. Ceiling is super, super high. He has Defensive Player of the Year potential. He can play center. We just saw it. He just scored 30 and whatever in a playoff game. Maybe Brandon Ingram is like a fourth option there, a third option as a guy that can help bridge the gap. Like, for me, I'm trying to make the roster as good next year as possible so that I can then make a decision on the team if I'm Cleveland. So, like, I there's probably some truth to the Garland stuff, but like you're under contract for 5 more years and you don't necessarily have the clout to be coming in here as like a, we're, you know, perennial playoff team and saying, I don't like this, I don't like that. Donovan Mitchell's a top 20 player in this league. Like, I think they're better served giving it another year to try and like see how far they can get. Man, you go to Eastern Conference Finals and like mess around and be competitive. I mean, people's opinion change real quick.
Yeah. What about you, Fly? What you got?
I'm more aligned to Chaz, but I would like to get back at least one of the shooters. If I can get
Sam Mitchell.
Yeah.
I want Yang or Sam Mitchell if possible.
Sam Merrill.
I keep calling him Mitchell. Merrill.
Yeah, if I can get one of those, I know it's Max Strus is out of the question. But if we can get even Dean Wade, like I'm not super opposed to Dean at all.
Why Dean?
Yeah, that's one of Ross people. that would be something. But you know, send Larry to go play his last couple years with his brother in his home state. Give up as many first round picks because it doesn't really matter at this point. Yeah, like make it a big deal, and I need Darius Garland out of that deal. Like, nah, fuck that. I know Ross. I know you said it's probably gonna be difficult. Fuck that. I need to solve two problems now at once. I'd rather do that now with getting rid of Brandon and just. I know the talent level won't be, you know, more so the same, but at least I won't have the same amount of problems that I had.
Shit, I would ask him. All right, what would make the deal work? Like, I would have to counter.
I couldn't agree more with y'all, to be clear. Like, if that's if that deal can get done, like if there's a way to get Garland too, you can have every pick we own for fucking infinity for all I care.
I'm with y'all. I think for me personally, also I think whatever I gotta do to get Darius in the building, I'm down for that. Like Larry gotta go, get B.I. out of here. I also like obviously the ideal move would be to get Jared back or a big back. I'm with five though. I like that. Get a shooter back. Shout out to old scumbag ass Chris Conner because he was talking about Dean Wade last night, and I'm not opposed to that either. So, y'all want to get into some fan shit? Y'all want to? I don't know how Justin do the thing where he bring the people
up. Comedy burger shit or?
No.
We're not gonna be able to, like, we have to send out the link to get people on. Just let's just pull up the questions tonight. You.
All right, okay. All right, so let's see what y'all got. Start.
Game, that ain't nothing but some Pellegrino, my dog. That ain't nothing good tonight.
That used to be my shit. I had to switch to Perrier because Pellegrino got sodium.
We got some water consigliaries. Chaz, what's your opinion on Garland being a CJ light?
Man, I can't lie. Watching that film, bro, I saw a lot of it. Like, I ain't gonna lie. I was like, damn, this motherfucker looked like CJ a little bit. But he looked like 25-year-old CJ. And he's faster than CJ. He's a little faster. But I don't trust Darren Garland, like, dunking the ball, really. But either way, I did see a lot of similarities to that game. And if you get young CJ, fuck, the problem with CJ right now is that you got Twilight CJ. You ain't get young CJ. If CJ was 26, it would be no discussion on who we need to trade around this motherfucker. So if you get young CJ, and I see that too, Dev, I think you won. That's awesome to me.
No doubt. Let's see. Five. Will Griff trade for Garland when he could have picked him in the lottery? I won't bet on it.
Man, listen. I mean, Griff got ties to Cleveland. He won a championship in Cleveland. You know, maybe still got some people in the building that like him. Hopefully, yeah, he passed on him. But I think that was more so out of like a necessity. You had, you know, Lonzo, right? We could have had a couple of different guards on this team. But it wasn't like he passed on Garland because he didn't probably want Garland. No, I don't think that's necessarily true. But Griff could make this trade. It'd be interesting if he could, if he will, but I think it can happen though.
All right, let's see.
Garland was
trying to remember now. He was one of those that, like, he played just a couple games in college. Huh? Was he hurt? Did he come back at the end, or did he play at the beginning of the season?
I think he got hurt. I think he hurt at the beginning and came back at the end, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I remember there being an injury thing, like, coming into the league, too.
To that point, too, Chris Gray, really, that's even better if you Griff, because that's another lottery pick that you didn't fail with, because he would have failed here. That's a lot of pick that you didn't fail with, and they had already did all the hard work for you. They did all the hard work developing this motherfucker. Now you get to reap the benefits. So even better.
Let's see, Russ. Let's see. If we land Garland or Trey, will we trade CJ? Don't see Willie playing two small guards who lack defense.
That's not a bad question at all. Great question. Yeah. I tend to think that the answer to that is no, only because my hunch is that they're not going to send CJ somewhere he doesn't like co-sign. Like, CJ is either going to play out his contract here or is going to be allowed to almost like dictate where he goes. That's just my hunch based on who he is, how much like his relationship with the folks in the front office, his role as the president of the PA. Like, I don't see them just up and sending him to Cleveland. Nothing against Cleveland. I just don't know whether that's like somewhere he wants to be or not. And I don't think they're going to trade him unless he's blessed it. So my answer to that is no, but it is a good question.
Five, I hate your shirt, but let me ask you this question. Is Garland or Murray more gettable?
Probably Murray more gettable. I think Cleveland, if they just take a step back from, emotions are probably high. They just take a step back. They still have a good team. Where if you look at Atlanta, even if Trey was healthy, I don't think they were a good team, to be honest with you. So, I mean, they made it to the second round of the playoffs. Yeah, I think Murray's the easier get, but I think Garland is the more intriguing one if you could pull it off.
No doubt.
Hey, point guard, don't be afraid to take a shot now.
Huh?
I'm talking to you. I'm saying don't be afraid to take a shot.
You ain't Justin.
I'm sorry, man. My bad. I was trying to
ISO for a second, though. Like, give yourself a question. Like,
I was trying to play the Justin rule, man. I'm sorry.
I appreciate that, but I need to see you take an ISO here. Like,
let me see. All right. How I feel about Allen and LeVert for BI and 21. Shit, I wouldn't say no to it. I mean, look, I think in talking to Chaz, he said something that was like real prophetic. Like, you gotta be in a mind state, you probably gonna take a loss. So if you in the situation are able to get back an all-star caliber player and LeVert, who is he a bucket, obviously he's not probably a starting, I know he's not starting in Cleveland, but you know what I'm saying? Like, Karras can score the ball. I'm not mad at that. What y'all think about that?
I called Detroit. I ain't gonna lie. I like, give me Durin and give me Durin and pick five. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I just roll with that because to me, Durin is similar fit issues. Like, and Durin give you 20-20 game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Durin can hoop younger. Cheaper, I could do more things to fill out the rest of that roster. If I can get Durin, Beef Stew, and pick five for Brandon, oh,
Chaz, they're hanging up, bro. Like, y'all crazy. You're crazy.
Hey, yo.
It is that man's nickname.
Who? Whose nickname? Who?
Isaiah Stewart. That is his nickname.
I
think that's like an initial. That's
a name.
That's a man's nickname.
It's a crazy name. That's a name, Beef Stew. But, yeah, the only reason I say that is because they ain't got no, like, you still got Asar Thompson. You got to figure out what the fuck you going to do with Ivy. Cade, he due for an extension, so you don't want him to get kind of, you know, antsy. And you got this pick five when you about to bring in another rookie. And you got Monty, who friends with Willie, who loves Brandon. So I'm like, nah, go ahead. Get, and if Najee signed in Detroit, I wouldn't be shocked if they plan on everybody just going to Detroit. Like, really? So, man, I at least, even they don't, even if I didn't get Stewart, know who I really want in that trade, though? Like, take Stewart out of it? Evan Fournier. Evan Fournier, $18 million fucking expiring, can shoot, hasn't really played a ton of minutes like the last couple of seasons, but you get Darren Evan Fournier in pick five, I think you won that trade personally.
Man, we couldn't get Jay Nodded. Like, fuck. Like, again, I wouldn't mind Darren, right? If we could, again, this is me. You have to solve two problems at once if you can.
Yeah.
Right? Try, if you're going to go Cleveland, can I get Darius and Jared? If you're going to go Detroit, can I get Durant and Jaden? I'd love Evan Fournier. Yeah, of course. But just solving two problems at the same time would be key for this team, even if it's a lack of talent.
I had a question for y'all. Shout out to you, Sheldon. Oh, appreciate you, bro. Appreciate, I don't know who you're talking about, but shout out to you, Sheldon.
Hey. Hold on, before you ask this, somebody says they ain't like my shirt. I'm just letting him know that the Virginia Cavaliers lost to Colorado State in the first four. They didn't score a point in the last 9 minutes and 40.
God damn!
48 seconds.
9 minutes.
Man. So let's just move on about, you know, basketball teams and college.
So it sounded like that was pretty good.
I think you go with guard way before. Like, if they say one of those two, I'm cashing. I would send the same package for Garland and Yang, or Garland and whatever salary filler, and just move on from Allen realistically, because I feel like a high quality guard, I don't believe in playing like centers big money. Like, that's not really something I believe in doing. I think you definitely need one, but
it's a running back. They like running backs.
Yeah, it's running back. Like, and man, I feel like if they say you gotta choose one, I'm going with Garland. But who would y'all choose if you had to choose one?
One?
You get Garland or Allen.
Oh, I'm gonna go with the guard. It's a guard driven league.
You gotta go with the guard, bro.
In that situation, I'm definitely taking Garland, no doubt. But I do disagree that with the sentiment of like the center part of it. We would just get bludgeoned in the West. Are you talking about Chet, Jokic, Cat and Gobert, AD? I just don't know. I don't know if you can just roll up there with fucking Mason Plumlee and be like, "Hey, what's good?" Like,
what's funny, Russ? I think there's a resurgence of the, like, I've been thinking about this for the last like couple of weeks. There's a resurgence of the center position in the NBA and the role that is played. I think because of Joker and the way he plays, and even looking at Embiid, like, you gotta be able to slow them down a little bit, and having length. And this is why I thought, like, you know, Minnesota was tripping when they let, you know, him guard Gobert, guard Joker. Like, his best asset is playing help side. Like, it's like Herb. Like, Herb's good on ball, but against like really quick guards, not so well. When he's help side, he's amazing. Right. So that way, like, you know, bigger, stronger guys playing against the elite talent, like, you need multiple of those. That's why I think, you know, even Minnesota's doing well against Denver.
Speaking of you five, stay right there, since this is your question. We can't draft looks at Trey, Herb, Dyson, and Huff. Duh. The fuck? Go ahead, five.
Dog, have you seen these? The development, it's not the point of like getting guys in the building. That's not the necessarily issue. It's developing them. It's getting them to a point where they're formidable players. If it weren't for like Trey's and look at even Jordan Hawkins, their ability to work out and just get themselves better, I don't think they'd be this far along. I don't think they would be where they are if it weren't for just their, you know, positioning on themselves. Look at Dyson. Like, he hasn't gotten better. especially to be the eighth pick? He hasn't gotten better. Herb was a 4-year guy. He was gonna be good. Trey is what, three? He played 3 years of college basketball. Like they knew how to play basketball at that point. Yeah, that's why Hawk's 2-year guy at UConn at an elite program, won a national championship. You can't give guys credit for stuff that they were already doing. I'm gonna look at Dyson because he was the one with the untapped potential. Look where he is now. He's still that untapped potential guy.
Chad, what do you think about this? Cleveland wins a B.I. and Garland trade.
Who fucking rate? Nigga, I don't give a fuck. Good.
I hope they do win it.
Yeah, in fact, I wish I had 2 B.I.s to give them. Like, give a fuck. The Pelicans win a B.I. off the team trade. It really don't matter who you get back. This is just the topic of the show. You get a bag of fucking M&M's back. You gotta give them a team. Let them do it. We'll be ready. Let Cleveland win it. We'll be ready. Let them do it.
Like, that's cool that that's this dude's opinion, but like, this dude is, you were, Rocky, whatever your first name
is. Rich Rocky.
Rich Rocky. You were the only person, like, the only person that thinks that.
No, he's right, though.
Like, but you're right. You are right.
No, he's right. Ross, we talked about this before. Please, Pelicans, lose the trade.
Yeah.
Don't try to win it. Don't try to win it. Just accept your loss and move the fuck on.
They know how to lose, that's for sure.
And just in case somebody from Cleveland watching this show, be honest, man, fucking fantastic. He was hurt. You know what I'm saying? He was hurt. And Darius wasn't hurt. You got a problem on your hands. He got a bad attitude. And I don't know who BI agency is, but they ain't got them kind of clutch problems. You need to get rid of that team guy, that team destroyer, Darius Garland. Send him to the Pelicans. Get Allen soft, you know, weak ass out of that too. Send him to the Pelicans. Get rid of them scrubs. Take Brandon. He's a gamer. It's a one-time All-Star. It was a long time ago. They call him Tiny Dog. Get that Tiny Dog on the roster.
Here it is. Yeah, get the humble beast.
That's a real name.
it's on his basketball reference page. That's one of his nicknames.
Hey, let's see. I'll answer this one. Let me see if David says if we get Garland and Allen out, RKO someone on the pod. I vote Chris. I vote Chris. Let's see. Black Order says trade behind CJ and Larry for Jaylen Brown, Derek White. Hey, man.
Hey, shit, why stop there?
Go ahead and get
you. Are you that Tatum?
Why go Tatum and Devin Booker in there? Make it a 3 team. Fuck. Why stop there?
You might as well ask for the coach.
People are crazy.
You selling BI kind of low, you know?
I mean, we can get more than Garland for BI. Y'all too emotional.
Okay. You know what? Uh-huh. My brothers always say when you talk to people and they clearly on the spectrum, just be like, you got that. You right.
Word. I don't know how we emotional, but for sure, man. For sure, Rich Rocky.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. Let's see. Anybody else got any other comments? What y'all got, man? Let me see. I don't know what that. I don't know, David. I don't know what the G Herbo BI reference is.
Napoli not allowing this one. He ain't allowing this.
Nah. Cody Zeller for.
Hey, I don't know about that.
Justin says no.
Justin had a spirit. He saw that. Somewhere. I'm surprised somebody threw Matt Ryan in the trade. That's crazy.
Super chat. Oh shit. Yo, Lito, our dog X came through with the 5-piece.
Yeah, you know what to do. Lito.
Read it.
Come
Lito.
On, dog. You gotta read it, bro.
Oh, look who we're here too.
Hey, Nat, what up? What up?
All right.
Read it, man.
That's cold. Y'all really gonna send me out like this?
Is this super chat? Hey, like, here's money. You know the rules.
That's crazy, man. Hey man, smash the like button, man. Just go ahead and smash the like button.
Just man, somebody run the clip. This dude talking crazy. Somebody run the clip on me. That like
button. You see, I go buy a whole motherfucking box of Built Bars with that five. Built Bars for the whole motherfucking show. We got the big one.
Wait, I don't even know what the clip is. I ain't never even used this motherfucker. Wait,
you talking about the company burger with Ross?
No,
Nah. Hold up, let me see.
Run company burger.
Oh, there we go.
I was talking about this one.
Wrong button. But
I bet it was.
Hold up. Yo, it's time to y'all favorite part of the show. Too bad Mont Dog ain't here, man. You know what? It was on a car. I saw some dude was drunk and drove his car over the bridge. He has a girlfriend in the trunk and she was pregnant with his kid. In the car, they found a tape, but they didn't say who it was to. Now that I think about it, it was my dog. Yo, so shout out to Company Burger on Fresh Street. Go there. And y'all know what to do.
Company Burger is the official burger of Propels Talk and Boot Crew Media. Located at 4600 Ferret Street, Company Burger has been locally owned and operated for 11 years. Grind the meat, bake the buns, make the mayo, get the homemade tots. Company Burger uses Creekstone Farms prime beef to create the best burger in the city with milkshakes to go and a full bar. Company Burger is open every day besides Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Can't make it out? No worries, we have you covered. You can order online right now at thecompanyburger.com or check them out on the Toast or Uber Eats app. Company Burger, the official burger of Boot Crew Media.
I think it was Chaz that said it one time, but like the fun, like there's something funnier every time, but that can't make it out? with the voice inflection.
Can't make it out. Yo, Justin was eating the burger. He just started doing this. He took a bite.
Yeah. It got that. It puts the lotion on his skin vibe. Can't make it out, man.
Justin's creepy frog. Oh my god. Oh. Y'all got anything else, man?
No. 5 seconds with Lito shit. Let's do it.
Damn, that's tight.
We got an intro.
It's tight, man. All right, so look, check this out. I was watching this movie called The Crow with Brandon Lee. Rest in peace to Brandon Lee.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. It got me thinking, though. What did Edgar Allan Poe know? What did he know? What did he know?
He knew a lot.
Why was he quoting birds? Randomly. Why did you just randomly write a poem about quoting a bird? Check this out. When Edgar Allan Poe was quoting a raven, did he really mean the crow? How did he know it wasn't a crow? What's the difference between a raven and a crow? Check this out. I did the math on this. Why do crows come in murders? That's kind of gangster. I'm just saying, if you got two crows walking around, that's a murder.
Murder. Right.
You know what they call a bunch of ravens?
Talk to them.
The unkindness. I swear to God, you can look that up. The unkindness. That's just depression. Nothing gangster about that. It got me thinking about every raven in history that let me down at some point. The wrestler, the raven. Sandman was beating his ass every night. Tommy Dreamer was giving him hell. His fan base was called the Raven's Nest. Come on, dog. You said Raven Simone. She aged like milk. The Baltimore Ravens. Y'all let my parlay down last year. You couldn't score a touchdown against the Chiefs. I even went to a rave once. That shit was whack too. Nothing about ravens are cool. Next time, quote a parrot. Like, quote something that's fun, Edgar Allan Poe.
Didn't that boy cut off his ear?
No, that was Van Gogh, but it all rhymed.
Peace. Poe and Van Gogh.